When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's up? Welcome to the worst idea of all time before we've even put the mitts on. This is what I call headphones now because I'm a cool guy. We've got these kind of broadcasting sticks. Yeah. You like that?
Mics on stands.
Mics on like movable stands that you grab like you're calling a ball game.
Yeah, and it feels good. Guys.
Guys, listen up.
It's called The Return to English.
Yes. Subs, no dubs.
Thanks to the good folks at xvideo.net.
Oh, fuck up about all that. Let's not get too carried away.
Well, all I'm saying is that Tim
we
and
found
I...
found and purchased a very legal, very above board...
third installment of Emmanuel 2000, Emmanuel yes. in Paradise, and the entire thing was rendered in crisp 240p and English.
With Japanese... We're pretty sure Japanese subtitles.
I don't know what the subtitles were, but I will say this. We've been missing out on a lot of good story.
God damn it. I loved this one. This is my favorite movie.
Of all of them?
Of all movies.
Oh, wow.
Not just Emmanuel. This is probably my new favorite film.
What we did know previously was that Emmanuel had some sort of mind control device through the medium of like a $2 shop headband, pendant, or bracelet. What we didn't realize was just how far-reaching and ambitious the scope of the operation her and her friends were conducting using these mind control devices.
Maggie and Philip, perpetually poolside.
That's right.
And Maggie is wheelchair bound.
Very progressive.
I guess.
Yeah.
To put that in a porno in 2000, yeah, I guess. So.
One of the foremost feminist texts alongside 1997's feminist. Home Alone 3.
Okay.
All I'm saying is this. They've got big plans for these mind control devices that go beyond sex. They delve into the idea of pure love, and then beyond that, even into DNA coding and philanthropy.
And an exploration of the culture of the following countries. Brunei, maybe. Japan.
Definitely.
Or some version of it.
She was going to Tokyo.
And Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah. So this movie follows your traditional three-act structure. If your traditional three-act structure is three short films settled together as one.
With one through line, a woman called Emmanuel, played by the talented Holly Sampson, who I actually rate.
Yeah, I thought she was fantastic.
She's a good actor. I'm glad she's in these movies.
It's interesting to think of what the Emmanuel franchise is doing here in the year 2000 and what Holly Sampson's doing with the character as an actor, but also the story and the direction that the franchise has gone in since the halcyon days of Sylvia Christel in deepest, darkest Thailand, about with a variety of high-powered ambassadors.
I miss Heffron, I will say that.
You miss Heffron? So yeah. Do you think you can draw a line from the first thing we saw to the year 2000 where we currently
the original are. What year was it, like 72, the French
71
one?
I think I want to say
1971. So you mean like do these feel even possibly in the same universe
aside from the titular character going around and enabling people to realize, you know, the fullness of their sexuality? Do you think that these are companions, bedfellows would be a good turn of phrase I could have used instead of companions.
Honestly, not really. It's sort of a name only for me.
Yeah.
Well, pretty much everything after the first, was there three of those Sylvia Kristal ones?
At least.
Was it just two?
I mean.
Or was there six?
I feel like there were three and then.
No, there was five.
I feel like maybe she went away and then she came back and so got bad. Trapped in purgatory on a flight with George Lazenby.
Yeah, but those were different though.
Were those?
I'm not counting those.
Okay.
So like we had the first two. And then I think maybe there was one other one, and then it got into all of the nonsense.
But you think that we're now
all
just
of the nonsense I can put in one bucket, but the first two do not fit in that bucket.
Okay, they were art.
They were erotica. The rest of these are pornography.
Mm. And anyway, what pornography?
Look, I can't wait to tell all of you about this movie that we just watched.
Well, why don't I be an audience surrogate and you be a storyteller?
You should help me in this journey because I don't want to mess anything up.
Only as and when required. Tim?
We're in Japan?
Yeah.
No. That's the middle movie.
According to
Act 1, we're in Saudi Arabia? Brunei?
This synopsis taken from Letterboxd seems to believe that we're actually in Morocco.
Oh, okay.
Shall I read you the overview before you delve into the particulars?
Yeah, please.
Emmanuel 2000, Emmanuel in Paradise, released in the year 2000, directed by Kevin Elba. The second installment.
Hold up.
The second installment.
That's not, I don't think that's right. Kevin Elba. Nah.
Well, this is what we just watched.
Okay, you keep going.
The tagline, around the world in so many ways. The second installment in the classic Emmanuel softcore film series to be helmed by director Uri He.
I'm so sorry, can I just stop you there? Around the world in so many days. That's a play on around the world in 30 days.
In 80 days.
80 days, sorry.
It is.
What the fuck?
Also, Letterboxd does not have a very clear articulation of who directed it. Even within the first sentence of the synopsis, we've got a different director.
Oh, I keep thinking of either Alan or can you spell Alan Alain? Is that still Alan?
Elaine.
Elaine Siretsky.
I keep saying that name too.
I thought that was the director. But here on IMDb, it's got Udo Blass and Fred Olin Ray as the directors of this film. Oh, wait, sorry. That's of 2000. Maybe
we're getting bogged down in the cast and crew when we should be getting bogged down in the story.
You're right.
What we're trying to say is this. Emmanuel in Paradise finds actress Holly Sampson in the role originated by Sylvia Kristal. This time around, the seductress travels to such locales as Morocco and Japan, landing in passionate trysts at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
That's it. So the Sultan is the central character who was an Emmanuel in the first bit, sort of. And I got to say, I kind of like the Sultan. Obviously
there are problems.
There's probably a caste system that he's ruling over, which is sort of alluded to. But just in terms of a guy, he's got kind of a cool energy to him.
Yeah.
He's got a cool swagger about him. And there's not a lot of people who act like really, really well in these movies, but I thought he is doing something.
His name is Anthea Scordi, and he looks to be a still very, successful jobbing actor.
That rules.
His IMDb filmography goes from 2021 all the way back to
2021. That's
1994.
Today. Anything that we might recognize that pops out at you?
No. I mean, he was in the TV adaptation of Catch 22, which I didn't watch, but they made anyway. Sort of like The Blacklist, that TV series. He's sort of
The Blacklist with James Spader.
Yeah, he's
wait.
Star Wars Battlefront 2, he's a video game voice. He was a video game voice in Assassin's Creed.
He's got a cool voice.
I think he probably lives a comfortable life.
Anyway, listen, this guy's really good, is the Sultan. And he's the Sultan, and he's friends with Emmanuel, and he's kind of in love with her. But not in a way where he's like overly possessive and making her stay by like ripping up her passport. In a way that's like, oh, Emmanuel, you'll always have my heart, but I'm the Sultan.
And so my heart also belongs to many others. He's never fully let his guard down to the point of allowing the possibility of true love enter his soul.
He's got a harem or harem, depending on what part of the country you're from.
And there is a businessman and his wife
That's
traveling
right.
through Morocco as guests and business partners of the Sultan.
Correct. Very explicit that it is the man doing the business deals. And it seems to be an oil concern.
Yeah, that's mentioned. They say oil a lot.
They say oil.
And the Sultan is constantly wondering whether or not business opportunity, like all he thinks about is oil. Oil in his harem.
Well, he's fascinated by the woman. He loves the woman. So what this, the opening of this movie is, we kind of open on an insistence from the Sultan to his business partner that in exchange for the successful business dealings which have occurred,
the pleasure for which doing business has been,
it must be repaid by the Sultan in the form of fucking a group of women.
That's right. The pleasure must be equal. And the only means of reciprocating the pleasure is by offering the services of his harem in front of the businessman and wife. And you'll be shocked and appalled to hear that the businessman is salivating, excited at the prospect of engaging with the harem. The wife, how did the wife take it, Tim?
Not so well.
That's right. The wife, this old stick in the mud, is not. She says,
the old ball and chain.
She says, you're loving this, aren't you? You're loving this because you're going to have sex with lots of ladies.
I don't want to disrupt the flow, but can I ask you a question? Is harem one of those words that you've only seen like written down and haven't heard spoken aloud a lot?
I feel like
I've never heard it pronounced harem.
I'd say harem.
Harem.
Well, there's different ways to mispronounce a word, as the old idiom goes.
Absolutely correct.
Or I die on.
Nice.
Thank you.
So that presents itself. Emmanuel gets inserted into the fray. She's there sort of incidentally, but I think is maybe friends with the guy?
No.
And then befriends the wife.
She's just there as a tourist. She's there to...
She's friends with the Sultan.
Yeah, yeah.
They go back.
But she's independent of the business couple.
They get introduced by the Sultan at dinner, and then Emmanuel befriends the wife.
Halfway through the dinner, the Sultan says to the businessman, the harem is ready, and your food will be delivered at your leisure while fucking. And the businessman gives a sort of guilty look to his wife, gives her a kiss on the cheek, at which she recoils and says, I'm off to fuck. And the men go to do manly things.
Like eating sushi off a woman. Why?
That is later.
Does this
and
franchise
it is disgusting.
Insist on combining coitus and food constantly?
Do you know what? Beyond the name, Emmanuel, one of the big through lines of the franchise.
Emmanuel in French should translate to food fuck.
Yeah, there's a lot of food play. And some of the food play, which we'll get to later in this podcast, in this film, was... Honestly, it transcended disgust and became pure comedy. Like they were actually actively trying to taunt us, make us laugh, have a bit of fun.
It's like a Jackass sketch.
So the man and the Sultan go to the harem, and the man sort of immerses himself in 3 to 4 women. And meanwhile, Emmanuel and his wife.
I don't know if that's true, though.
Yeah.
Do we see him doing that?
Yeah, he gets into the spa. And
because later on...
I know.
He is. So that is kind of meaningless.
Well, no, he's had
I'll
his...
say what it is because people haven't seen the film, even though this is kind of slightly out of chronology. Later on, that same guy goes to kind of have some sex again with these people who aren't his wife. And what's happened in the intervening period is Emmanuel has had a dastardly idea, and that is having the wife dress up as a member of the harem. And so no one else is there except for her in like a veil, and that is the one disguise.
He doesn't recognize her because of the veil.
Throws him off the scent completely. And so then he chickens out at the last moment. He's like, I can't do this. I'm married. I love my wife. I want to make love to my wife and my wife alone. But you're saying, I really should remember what happened at the start of the movie we just watched.
I know, I'm saying...
He jumped in the tub with all those women?
Yeah. Here's a guy who's had his cake and is now going to also eat his cake.
Exactly.
So
that's the problem.
The way he learned he only wants to have sex with his wife is by having sex with 4 other women simultaneously.
Hey.
And that is one of the classic ways to figure out that you love your partner.
We're all fallible. Relationships are tricky. Sometimes you've got to dive into a harem.
To have sex with multiple women at once.
So that happens, and it's lovely because then the wife is like, he does love me.
Because Emmanuel and the wife, they talk about their emotions. You know, the men are doing man stuff, and the woman, the women are doing womanly stuff, about their feelings.
They are, but here is where the movie takes a fantastic turn because Emmanuel puts the device, which allows you to feel the feelings of whoever is wearing the other half of the device. So one of them is a crown, a very shit crown with a plastic heart that has an LED flashing in it.
Detailed pink. By us before.
And then the other half is a necklace. And so they communicate with each other the feeling of one wearer to the other. So I think the crown is the receiver and the necklace is the sender.
This is actually, again, if we're trying to tie the franchises all together, this is not dissimilar to the through line we had with the... you remember there was the magic potion that a monk gave one of the Emmanuels?
Yeah.
And she could take...
transform into any woman. It's pure, you got to stay pure of heart, though.
You do have to be pure of heart. But it's the same device.
Yeah, and then Emmanuel in space, they all on the ship. The crew had the,
the mind-reading device kind of thing.
The Oculus Rifts that they put on.
Essentially, as throughout the...
But hold on for a sec. Can I just finish my thought with that? Because you were saying about the men doing manly things and the women doing womanly things. This is where they flip that. Because Emmanuel puts the receiver device on the Sultan and then he freaks out because the send bit of the device has been put on the wife.
That's right.
So he goes, I feel like a girl. And Emmanuel's like, yeah, you're feeling the emotions of a woman who's having sex with her husband.
After they've professed their true love. It was really cool. And then just to really turn the dial up on intensity for the Sultan, Emmanuel also fucks the daylights out of him while he's experiencing the emotional intensity of true love between a wife and her husband.
You say fucks the daylights out of, but if there's one thing I've learned about this Emmanuel 2000 series, it's not like aggressive.
No,
except for the cocaine addict who we'll get to later.
It's their
a lot of it's just humping. It's like you're having sex, but it's a humping kind of
it's
emotion.
It's their version of, you know, fucking the daylights out of.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
that's true.
As far as hardcore within the franchise goes.
Yeah.
There's a real intensity. There's a genuine.
And if you're 14, this is very
and
hot
credit
stuff.
To the actors. There is a passion between them. And it's actually, you know, if you...
Who? The Sultan and...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they are chemistry.
Between both...
I didn't buy the married couple so much. I thought the husband didn't bring it.
The husband was like, he walked off of a sort of an off-air failed pilot for a sitcom and onto the set of Emmanuel 2000.
He went big. But then luckily in the third part of this movie, we got even bigger.
But so this is like a little vignette. So that would close. At the end of this, the Sultan experiences pure love. Both through
a woman's pure love.
Yeah, both through the wife and then also through being with Emmanuel and sort of professes his affections for Emmanuel. And Emmanuel goes, you got it, man. And then gets on a plane.
Nice one, slugger.
To Tokyo. And on the way to Tokyo, she, through the device of her friends who she's in cahoots with and experimenting with
Maggie
this
and Philip
technology, she says, yeah, so the Sultan was like, I love you, but to Tokyo, where a friend of mine is finding a lot of success in the tech world of business.
Actually, yes, sorry. And just in that scene when she's going on the airplane. So she keeps talking to Maggie and Philip on it is obviously just a compact, a makeup compact. That's got a little mirror in it, like a foundation thing. But they're treating it like it's a video phone.
They've used a very clever camera trick where you never see what she's looking
at really
from her angle. You only see it from our perspective. And it could be anything behind.
Wetter digital level effects to trick the viewer.
Aye.
And so what seems to me to be happening is they're collecting data about sex for some thing, some computer type of thing.
Do you know
it
what?
It seems like they're collecting data on this for something.
The end game of Emmanuel and her cohorts is never very very clearly articulated.
The first two movies which were in the series were in Russian. So I think we'd understand.
One of them was in German. And I speak a little de Deutsch. All this to say, we trust that their ethics are sound. For we must. Otherwise, we are watching immoral people do immoral things.
The second part of this three-part movie takes place in Japan, where Emmanuel lands, enters the hotel, announces she's feeling a bit weary from the plane, a bit jet-lagged from the champagne and high altitude, and the concierge says, we can fix that right up. And she does, by taking off all her clothes, oiling both of them up, and rubbing her naked body against Emmanuel's, who's lying face down on a massage table.
That's right. And both parties seem to enjoy this. A little bit of no strings attached, guilt-free, rubber-dub-dub.
It's like... on paper, hot stuff, but in
actuality,
it just takes too long and is boring, and it's quite unsexual.
I'll say this, because of the return to English, I mean, you know, the curmudgeon that I am, I've articulated that I've grown tired of some of the sex scenes previously, but like, because the story was really fun and we were back in English and we were following what was happening and it was kind of exciting. Mm-hmm. These sex scenes became more frustrating because they were in the way of what was actually proven to be a genuinely enjoyable cinema experience.
The story. You loved the plot.
Not always.
You wanted to fuck the plot.
In the context of watching...
Guy wanted to get his hard penis and put it in the plot.
Think of the man who you talked to last week. I was at my wit's end. I was lost. But I was actually within the context of the franchise and the podcast, I was enjoying myself. And they kept interrupting that enjoyment to show people having sex with each other.
Which would have been all right if it was kind of porn. But it never is with these movies.
No.
It's just two women oiled up, rubbing their bodies together. Quite obvious on screen that no one's getting a lot out of the transaction. But anyway, that kind of goes
neither
down
hither nor thither.
The main point of this section of the movie is to focus on a man who reminds me intensely of Metal Gear Solid's Revolver Ocelot. He's got a cool moustache, a deep voice, and a geisha.
Who he has fallen in love with.
Yes, he has.
Breaking with tradition. And it's sort of a forbidden love because, as explained in the movie, which also doubles up as a Wikipedia paragraph on the history of geishas.
I have no faith that anything they said about Japanese culture is correct. So, you know, we're just going to relay what they told us about.
The geisha and her charge may not be in love with one another. And so Emmanuel thinks, ha-ha, I think these two love one another. I will set them up because he is enjoying much success in the business world but is isolated and alone.
His wife died 2 years ago. His true love.
And while Emmanuel goes about setting this up, he hits the streets and winds up fucking some entirely different woman.
Who is also a geisha, but this time American?
Yes, from Europe. Everyone in this movie, despite the fact that we traverse across multiple continents, has a thick American accent.
Except and for a distinct lack of melanin, against the country that you find them in.
Aye, aye.
We're in Morocco. Couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting half a dozen white people.
Yeah.
There literally was one brown person in that whole scene, and it was the Sultan.
Half a dozen.
And even that, I don't know for sure.
Semi-nude blonde woman. But he had sex with a geisha, blah, blah, blah. This is sort of like, this was probably the weakest of the three stories. Emmanuel.
Oh, no, hold the fuck up, guy. This was a juicy story unto itself because he was scared that if he started dating people, he was going to come up against a gold digger who would try and steal all his wealth because women can't be trusted.
That's right.
There's only one who could be trusted, and he trusted her, and she died 2 years ago.
He trusts Emmanuel because they are friends.
They are friends. They're pals. And they go way back. But this new woman that he finds turns out to be the very thing he feared.
That's right.
She is a gold digger, revealed too late in the piece.
But don't worry, because Emmanuel successfully uses her mind-reading sex device to pair the geisha with her charge.
She goes around to the geisha's house and says, "Hey, I'm Emmanuel. We haven't met before. Your house is tiny."
Yeah.
First words out of her mouth. Fuck you, Emmanuel.
Pretty rude. But
got them together.
Happy ending, yeah. And so then they wind up together and Emmanuel says, well, she doesn't even say it. And it's not even exposed through like an external narrative device. All of a sudden, we're just in Las Vegas. And you think, okay, Las Vegas, huh? And there's a guy in a limo arriving at a desolate and deserted diner. Tumbleweed blows across the screen.
He announces four times that he's a Navy SEAL to his driver.
And Tim says, are we watching the same movie? And we are. Because
there was just no connective tissue whatsoever.
This last of the three short films was far and away the most...
excellent?
Yeah.
Filmic? Tarantino-esque?
Incredible? Probably questionable.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Basically, we have a character here who's a former Navy SEAL and is a high-rolling businessman with a crazy life.
His words.
His words.
Literally an exact quote.
His words, exactly.
I'm a high-rolling financier and my life is crazy.
And he's not wrong. Emmanuel and another guy who we will call Bill, the three of them used to be best friends. They're best friends from as long as we can remember. And the high-flying financier, his life is so crazy that he doesn't even have time for his friends in his life anymore. Which
despite
is
the fact that they've been trying to get a business deal together for the last 2 years. Exactly the same amount of time that that guy's wife has been dead, which is unrelated.
Absolutely. And what is the business deal, Tim? What are the particulars?
Well, there's been a prior deal that was made, and it went fine by all signs that are produced in the movie. But this one's different. The organization that Emmanuel seemingly is attached to, but mainly the scientist friend runs, is now a non-profit. It is dedicated to the singular cause of mapping the human genome, a task that took a fairly large, I believe, group of the world's leading geneticists some time to crack in the mid-2000s and got them a Nobel Prize. But this guy's like, I've got an idea for an internet company. We're going to map the human genome, put it online, and people will be able to send us their DNA and we will tell them what's wrong with them based on whatever is different from them, their DNA to this genome that we've sequenced. Which, first of all, I don't know if that's how that works at all. But secondly, very ambitious for one man hitting up a guy who's obviously a cocaine addict to fund and get off the ground.
But I kind of love, like, whether or not that guy, the scientist Bill, is a scam artist or not, I love his moxie.
I fucking love the big swings of the script writers being like, I just cracked my knuckles.
I know.
Let's get into some shit. Let's really create a tale here.
It's like they wrote down all the ideas that they could put in the movie, and then they got to the last third, and they still had more ideas than space left. And they were like, okay, we could either leave some of these off the table, or we could do it all at once.
It's so fun.
It is a lot of fun.
It's so cool. You just get people saying crazy batshit ideas and throwing these schemes out, and you're like, yes.
Basically, the high-rolling financier is like, look, it's good to be here, but I'm busy. I got to get out of here. I'm going to get back in my limo. And Emmanuel and Bill say, your limo's gone. So they have kidnapped him. And he says, okay, what's going on here? And then two women emerge from a commercial kitchen dancing. And he says, huh, but kind of winds up enjoying himself and stands up to approach them. And Emmanuel says, no, they are dancers. And as you rightly observed, Tim, these are some of the worst dancers I have seen in my young life. They are given 45 seconds of screen time before a woman, another woman, emerges from a different commercial kitchen.
This is revealed for some reason to be Maya, a long-lost love, perhaps?
Of the high-rolling financier.
Of the cocaine addict, man.
And the cocaine addict man is delighted to see Maya and confused by her presence, as we all are.
Absolutely. But he gets up. He goes over to her. She says, "You left." He says, "I never wanted to leave." She says, "I loved you." He says, "I love you too." And they go into one of the many commercial kitchens in this abandoned diner.
And we are treated to the most filthy, disgusting, gut-wrenching attempt to make a cake you've ever seen in your life. We're getting three cups of flour and you just slap it on your own sweaty, naked body.
The two of them proceed to fuck and cover one another in ketchup, chocolate sauce, salt, and gallons and gallons of milk. Milk abounds.
So much fucking milk.
He cannot stop himself pouring milk on himself, on herself. And the two of them just, they fuck and eat to their heart's content.
It is. Revolting. There's no other word for it.
It is, yeah, I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. And they finish. And then,
in all senses of the word,
they finish. Oh, Maya disappears, never to touch the air of civilized man again.
Listen, there's literally no explanation for how she got out of there alive.
There's also no explanation for how she got there in the first place.
No, what? Oh, yeah, that's true, actually. I was going to say.
Emmanuel has kidnapped multiple ex-lovers of a cocaine addict,
yeah.
Marched them to an abandoned diner in the Las Vegas desert, and paraded them out to fuck and persuade this cocaine addict into closing a deal and providing seed money to an old friend who's setting up some sort of medical online scam.
That's fucking awesome, dude.
Anyway. This is almost enough to push the cocaine addict over the line and close a deal with his old friend to provide money. But he says, nah, actually.
Nah.
And Emmanuel has anticipated this. And out of a third commercial kitchen emerges another former lover, this one Eastern European, of the cocaine addict. And he says, what was her name?
Oh, who cares? Like, I don't know.
Sylvia? Anyway, him and Sylvia then go outside.
They fucking a T-Bird or something. It's a cool looking car.
That's right.
Oh, maybe it's a pink Cadillac, actually.
Well, whatever it is, exactly the same story cycle repeats itself.
Well, she's more angry.
Minus the food. Yeah, she's more angry, but he's just as persuasive. And he says, I didn't want to leave you. I love you. And they have sex again. He comes back into the diner. We do not know what has happened to the woman he's just had sex with. And he says, I feel good. Let's make this deal.
Yeah. And then he becomes altruistic, right?
He's not like,
oh, that's not
yet.
Oh, you're right.
He says, let's make this deal. And Emmanuel and Bill are so excited. They can't believe their luck. And then he says,
same deal as last time. I will own everything.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck?
And he says, this won't work. That's how I do business. I must win. Everyone else must lose. Fuck you. I've got no time for friends. And Emmanuel, instead of saying, get out of here, you sociopath, says, I thought this might be the case. May I present a fourth commercial kitchen and a third woman? And there is something about this woman. Well, I mean, first of all, this woman has been flown in from Morocco. She is a member of the original harem from the start of the
film. For no reason. No fucking reason whatsoever. Except to remind you that you're still watching the same flick.
Absolutely. Also, commendations to anyone who has watched this film to masturbate and has stuck around. Like,
yeah, fucking A.
I'm imagining a lot of people with a flaccid penis in their hand just, you know, gawk-eyed looking at this film saying, how do you resolve all of these different parts?
Do you reckon that's what this is, the last bit? The writers know that everyone's stopped watching and they're just like, let's just muck around.
Let's see. Yeah.
Let's have some fun.
Let's have a bit of fun. One just for us. So this last woman is the most, like, she obviously had the most powerful connection with our cocaine addict because they... He looks upon not just his actions that day, but of his entire life. And it forces some sort of perspective shift where he says, holy shit, I was off. I was way off.
The man has had some sort of Pootie Tang reckoning.
That's right. And he agrees to fire his lawyer, drop a brand new contract dictated by Bill and Emmanuel, and then get into his limo with this woman who he truly loves. And fuck her all the way back to civilization.
Really cool stuff. He invites Emmanuel and the scientist to join him for a lift back because they're in the middle of goddamn nowhere in Nevada. And they say, no, we've actually got one more story beat to do here. And then he and Emmanuel fuck.
Yeah, Bill, the scientist, and Emmanuel, they have sex at the abandoned diner.
The end is cross-cutting between the two couples sucking and fucking.
Yeah.
In the Nevada desert. But one of them in a commercial kitchen, surrounded by pots and pans.
The others in a limousine. And like just when you think you got your head around it all, the credits roll.
It's fucking great. Yeah. Really good film. 5 out of 5. Flawless.
I mean, it was a quality operation.
How much of this do you think, like, because I put to you that we need to go back and watch the first two movies that we've seen in Russian and German respectively and really try and find them in it. Can you not try and find them in English?
And I said them? No.
Yes, it was a firm no.
We must continue to move forwards. I want to be set free. I mean, look, I enjoyed myself today.
Yeah.
But that was against expectations. It was against previous experience.
Do you think it's...
I enjoyed
myself. This was an oasis in a Nevada desert filled with cocaine addicts and kidnapped women.
This was genuinely the third woman from the fourth commercial kitchen.
Yeah.
This was the one that made me see, hey, there's something here.
But if we see another Emmanuel 2000 in English, you think it's going to be like a second woman in a third commercial kitchen? Where it will be enjoyable, but not convincing.
In this game, it's just you can't flash forward and you can't, you know, it's hard not to look back, but you just got to...
You either die as the fourth woman in the fifth commercial kitchen or live long enough to see yourself become the first woman in the second commercial kitchen.
That's right. But, yeah, I mean, look, in a vacuum, I enjoyed this a lot, but that's not to say I want to retread ground that has already been covered. Nor is it to say that I'm excited to continue doing it.
If I find them, I might do it on my own time and report back.
No, don't let me stop you.
It's a grand experiment that we're engaged in. He's not
Boner Inspector!
God damn it.
Hey, fellas! Here you enjoyed yourselves.
Tenakwe. Hello, Boner Inspector. It's nice to see you.
Anything to report?
Not from me, I'm afraid.
What about you, Montgomery? No, I'll be on my way.
I like that guy.
He's sometimes he sticks around and other times he really just comes and goes.
It's good. He keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, he's a mystery.
Jesus Christ, someone's at the window.
Hold
on. Let me lift the window open. Hi. Is that George?
Hello.
Hi, George. How you doing? Come around the door.
It's me, George Lazenby.
What are you doing at the window? What's happening?
Well, I like to lean in the window.
Mm-hmm. Just have a listen.
You know, I do like to listen.
Yep.
And sitting can be uncomfortable because of this monstrous and unquenchable boner that I have tucked into the collar of my shirt. I was
really expecting hemorrhoid, and I should have remembered the big throbbing boner.
You must know my mythology.
I know your physiology, and that contains an epic boner, an epic perpetually boned-er.
Now, from the window, I heard that you've had quite a positive pornographic experience.
Well,
and
it depends how you measure it, Mr. Lazenby, because on the one hand, I had a rollicking good time watching the film. On the other, you just missed him, actually, but the boner inspector was here, and I had to report no activity on that front.
I've got to say, if the boner inspector and I were ever to meet, we'd have a hell of a conversation.
You two would get on... Famously. I actually think that could be a relationship for the heavens. That is really... I mean, you're made for each other in a lot of ways, aren't you? The world's biggest boner and the world's biggest fan of boners.
Perhaps if someone could overlook my boner in granular detail, it might help...
I don't think that would be the
conquer case. It.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Or we could continue trying to develop a pornographic film that could release me from this self-built prison.
Yeah. Well, let me just check to see if Guy Montgomery wants to take a run at it this time or if I want to pick up the reins. What do you think?
Fill your boots, Tim.
Okay, very good. So here's what I'm thinking. We pick up all three threads.
Oh, my God.
That were in this movie.
It was ambitious once, but to run it back.
Emmanuel 2000, Emmanuel in Paradise. But instead of having them as separated strands taking place in three acts, aka three short films stuck together with just one character recurring through the three of them being Emmanuel, we're actually going to have the characters interacting. So here's what's happening. The Sultan of Morocco, who lords over both multiple harems and also an imaginable wealth born of an oil field.
Unimaginable or unimaginable?
An unimaginable.
Oh.
I guess you could imagine it because it's a lot. So just imagine a lot of wealth.
Okay.
So we've got that. And
my God, it's so much.
Yeah, it's a lot, but you can picture it.
Yeah, yeah.
So he has been approached by an American scientist who you wouldn't know it when he's buttoned up in his shirt and tie, but has an incredible rig.
Nice. I like a secret muscle-bound scientist.
It is like Bruce Banner Hulk. Wow. Style terrain. It's crazy.
Must wear a very slimming suit.
I don't even know how it makes sense ergonomically. At any rate, he's been knocking on the door of this sultan to approach him to try and get funding for an online company that he's got in mind to sequence the human genome. A crazy ambitious project for the scientist to take on himself.
Of course.
He's actually realized. So he started a non-profit organization, and with the funding of his best friend, a cocaine addict financier in Las Vegas, attempted to do this by himself, blew all of the money, and then realized he was going to need more than one scientist to get this done. He is knocking at the door and begging at the feet of the Sultan to fund this escapade.
Will he do anything?
He will do literally anything to get this across the line. It is his life's work. Now, while this is happening, the Sultan has been on his own quest to quench his unquenchable thirst for true love. He has been touched in his soul by the feeling of true love when Emmanuel, his good friend, put a necklace on him. Put a crown on him so that he could feel
the emotion
of a woman in sexual intercourse with her husband, and it awoken something in him, something he's never felt before. Deep love during sex.
My God.
So he's looking around, and he's been very interested in the Japanese culture and has cottoned on to the fact that perhaps geishas, a forbidden sort of love, could be the sort of traditional role that would be able to fulfill this need of his. So he has kidnapped a lot of geishas.
Oh, my God.
And hidden them all around the palace.
This sounds...
It's not great.
No, yeah.
It's not great.
It sounds pretty questionable.
So the geneticist is in the palace trying to get the wheels greased on this business deal. He discovers all these geishas around the place and now is in a very morally ambiguous juncture of, does he put everything on the line to try and pursue his life's work of mapping the human genome so that he may help other people identify their genetic disorders through some sort of online mail service? Or does he, with this new knowledge, have to act on freeing all of these kidnapped geishas?
And am I supposed to come to this moral quandary?
Well, first he fucks a lot of them while he's
thinking. Oh, very good.
Like a lot.
While he's thinking, did you say?
While he's thinking about it. He's pondering. Yeah. He's really torn. And Emmanuel, strangely, on top of what already has happened with the Sultan kidnapping all these geishas, Emmanuel, who we know from Emmanuel in Paradise, has been best friends with the scientist for a long time. She has kidnapped a bunch of ex-girlfriends of the scientist.
Oh,
and they keep coming from random kitchens that are strewn throughout the palace. It's fucking crazy.
Oh my God.
So this guy's doing a lot of fucking around the place. There's milk all over the shop.
One scientist is just fucking every single woman.
Yes. A lot of salt, a lot of flour, a lot of milk, a lot of eggs. If it's in a chocolate cake, it's on top of him and these women.
Okay.
Eventually, he comes to the conclusion that he has to save these women. So
after he's fucked them all.
You got it.
While they're in this compromised situation.
Here's what happens. He devises a plan to trick the Sultan. So he says, I'm going to prove that my technology works. Give me a strand of your hair. He develops a mobile lab in the palace from resources and computers that he has brought on his business trip. He manages to map the Sultan's DNA and identify several crucial genetic disorders that relate to the Sultan. Using that information of his ailments, he is able to kill the Sultan using a poison.
Jesus.
That only reacts to his genetic deficiencies.
Yes.
That everyone eats at a feast. The Sultan dies. No one suspects a thing because everyone ate the same food.
Yes.
And in the chaos of them trying to work out who the heir to the oil field will be, he manages to escort all of the geishas out of the country.
Wow.
Back to their home.
Happy ending.
Happy ending, except he didn't get to get the sequencing genome business off the ground.
And except for me, George Lazenby as well.
Yeah, so this is what you're supposed to come to.
I see. Well, I am narratively pleased and relieved, but sexually hard and frustrated. So
fair enough, fair enough.
It's appreciated.
It's a balancing act, isn't it?
Well, it's tough to get right.
Plot and penis and pussy. Those are our balancing acts.
The three plosive P's.
Yes.
P's, please. Oh, dear. It looks like my voice is changing. I better be off.
See you, George. Can't believe he was a real James Bond, a canonical James Bond.
Yeah, the best James Bond and the only living James Bond.
Yeah.
Don't look now, but Pierce Brosnan's not doing so hot.
But Daniel Craig, he looks fit as a fiddle. And I think he's still got one more movie in him. At any rate, Guy Montgomery, how would you rate this film, Emmanuel 2000, Emmanuel in Paradise?
I'd rate it on the scale of centimetres of George Lazenby's erect penis up to a maximum score of 90 centimetres. 90 centimetres.
I love it. Perfect.
A perfect
score.
Porno.
That's so good. Me too.
Well, with that in mind, why don't we get the fuck out of here?
That sounds really good. I'd like to say thank you very much to everyone who has reached out and helped us source English versions or any kind of versions of these Emmanuel 2000 movies, which have proved a little trickier than we thought to obtain.
That's right. And I would like to recommend Emmanuel in Paradise to anyone looking to experience just a touch of what this season's materials are.
Featuring the wickedly talented Holly Sampson.
Yeah. Hey, stay safe, stay sexy out there, everyone. Keep your hands on the wheel and your boners in your trousers. Oh, fuck.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.